Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. Journey with throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. Yeah. Weekends calling. Top start free bowling.
Oh shit! Another week, another show, more shit going down.
Can we like? What? Why? Why is winter now the chill season and summer is just where shit goes wrong? It literally needs to be the other way around.
I argue just because it's hot. People seem to lose their shit more when the temperatures are higher because it's so fucking hot and your brain is just being fried like a goddamn egg.
Yeah.
Crazy makes sense.
Crazy makes
in the winter...
sense.
Crazy summer, being crazy during the summer makes perfect sense. It sucks, but it makes sense. Being crazy in the winter is scary, dude.
We're crazy in the winter because, like, it's cold. You don't actually realize how much money you actually need for, like, all the Christmases. And most of my friends' birthdays are around Christmas as well. I'm just like, mm-hmm. Bruh. And everyone's 30 now. Everyone's like, oh, I want to go here. I want to go here. And I was like, bro, I want to go to the pub and like have like a 5 quid round for like 20 people, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I mean, speaking from experience, the 30th is a special one, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've always viewed it as it's like when you're, there are certain birthdays that are special that should be celebrated big ways. You know, 15, 16, depending on whether or not you're Latino or, you know, not.
We have Sweet 16 over 18. Here. It correlates. 16 is, like, a milestone.
There you go. Like, 18, 21 in the States, obviously, because drinking and stuff.
21 is still pretty big over here.
I would say 25, because, you know, quarter of a century, that's a... It's just cool to say you've been alive for a quarter of a century.
Not so much. Like, I think I was in L.A. when I was 25, and I didn't give a shit.
Then,
was I? I've lost track of time since 2019, to be honest. I don't think I'll ever get it back. There's literally 2019, like, 2019 TPC, time before COVID. I'm not too sure. Maybe I was 25 in L.A., I can't remember.
And then, honestly, it's just, you know, 30, and then... every decade after, because everything in between 30 and 40, no one gives a fuck. I'm 33, so.
Well, we have like the whole thing over here where it's like life begins at 40 kind of thing, quote unquote. It's a very middle-aged white person thing.
Life begins at 40. Life begins when you're born.
Yeah, no. Like,
that's literally the definition of the beginning of life. If
you say that on your 40th,
bro, your life has sucked.
For real. It's okay. I'm 40. My life's just getting started. Bro, what the fuck have you been doing for 40 years that your life is just now starting?
I'm so disappointed in myself. I was meant to make this drink last the whole podcast. We're 4 minutes in and it's gone.
Fuck's sake.
It's like I said before we started recording, it's not hot. It's not cold. Every day it rains a lot and then it gets really sunny. It's so humid. It's so dry. I want to get off. Like, make it stop. Like,
make it stop.
There are moments, like, where if it's Saturday and I'm playing games and it's hot in my room, there are moments where I'm just like, I actually might need to, like, oh, boys, I'll catch you later. I need to go for an hour. And like, what? Like, the rest of my house is like Ice Station Zebra. Compared to how hot it is in my room, it's
Jesus
excruciating.
God damn, that's awful. God damn.
So this week, holy crap! Why? So as much as I'm looking forward to Oppenheimer, Sebastian, as is everyone else, Barbieheimer is what we're now calling the release of these two said movies, which is pretty good. 20,000 people have already booked tickets through AMC to see both movies on the same day. That was good news. We don't get the movies till July 21st. I don't even think they come out the same day for us. This may be because of Tom Cruise. I think Dead Reckoning bought the IMAX rights in the UK, Europe, before Oppenheimer and Barbie could get in there. So Barbie and Oppenheimer are like, okay, we'll just wait like 3 weeks and then boom, we'll come out. Yeah. So we get Mission Impossible and then we get... So I've got to try and dodge all the spoilers. But something came out recently, Sebastian. Did you see what came out?
I did indeed. And it's weird. Interesting.
It's interesting.
It's interesting.
In the climate of where we are in terms of how safe celebrities have to be, how safe comedy has to be, Christopher Nolan says, nah, fuck that, Florence Pugh, get your kit off and get railed by Cillian Murphy for a whole goddamn sex scene. Yeah, right here in the script. Do it. Like, what the fuck? What, like, I thought this movie was about the building of the Hiroshima bomb.
What, I'm just hoping Nolan didn't approach her in that way, because that would be very fucked.
Well, he's pretty old. He might not have, like, you know... he might not have, like, his filter might be deteriorating, like with most people who age.
But we were kind of talking about how, like, you know, obviously you just mentioned it's the movie about the building of the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a scene that's necessary?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the context of the scene is, aside from the fact that they're both full frontal in it.
Yeah.
Which has been the headline. They're full frontal. Like, okay, but what's the context of the scene?
I heard about the scene a couple of weeks ago, but I heard it was left on the cutting room floor. But like literally a couple of days ago, it was making the rounds on Twitter, making the rounds of Fred's. We'll get to you eventually, Fred's. Everyone's on it right now. Like it's the hot new thing. Everyone's talking about how, like, you know, is this what, like, it is this scene, is the reaction to this scene is why Florence Pugh is like shaved all of her hair off to try and make herself look a little less girly girl. I'm not accusing, I'm not saying, I'm not doing anything like that. I just know, like, you know, you tend to sort of go overboard when you do something in your career. You sort of have a post project sort of like post project blues or like post project meltdown kind of thing. I've just seen her in all the photos and all the dresses. She's like in these like sheer dresses now. You can literally see right through.
Yeah.
And it's like, I barely recognized her in that sort of, like, I think it was the GQ photo or Vanity Fair photo. Mm-hmm. Yep. Where, like, everyone's, like, sitting on boxes now, which is, like, the brand new thing for, like, status hierarchy. And she's, like, on the far right. And I was like, no way. Yeah, like, it's well weird. Like, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Like, but then again, I don't work for Vanity Fair and I'm not a photographer. But, like, she's on the far right. And I was like, yo, who's that? I was like, no.
I don't know. I think it, because, like, obviously it leads to the question of, you know, sex scenes and stuff in anything. And
especially,
you know,
the reaction she had to the sex scenes in Don't Worry, Darling.
I mean, I guess that would, I think that's what raises a lot of concerns for people involving her, obviously, because, you know, all the drama that came about from that movie. But there hasn't been anything, I would say, negative that has come out about Oppenheimer, about any of this. Obviously, this this has come out, and I feel like people are reacting to it way before it's even been shown.
We kind of need to see it, don't we? Before we sort
exactly
of
like so it's like, obviously, you know, you can have an opinion because it's plastered everywhere, like, oh, full frontal, oh, great, tits and dick and balls and all this other stuff. But, like,
what? Yes, those are the body parts you needed for sex.
Like, it could be a really good scene. Obviously, you watch it and you're like, okay, this scene makes sense. Maybe it was a little over the top with how they're doing it, but, and maybe it's not. Maybe it's not even as long as, or whatever. But again, having to wait to see it, then judge, as opposed to judging just because, oh, they're full frontal. And?
It's like, it wasn't full frontal, but it was still gratuitous and a little bit unnecessary. As I watched over the weekend, Enemy at the Gates. Now, if you know the movie I'm talking about, you've literally just gone, fucking hell, Ed, Jesus Christ. This movie stars Ed Harris, Jude Law, Rachel Weisz, and it's literally about the Russians making a stand at Stalingrad. And it's a real-life story about two snipers fighting each other. The Russian front line were using this one sniper, Jude Law, as, like, their sort of hero to rally the troops. Rather than, like, because before this was happening, the Russians were like, oh, you advance and you attack the Germans. The Russians were turning around because they were getting mowed. The Russians then shot their own troops, brev. Yeah, that's how you're going to win. They stopped doing that shit. And it was like, look, rather than, you know, sayings like, for Russia, you know, you're Russian, you need to fight. But how about say, like, you know, fight for your land, fight for your parents, that kind of shit. But, like, so he ends up meeting Rachel Weisz. In the barracks, and I'm pretty sure, like, in the next scene, Rachel Weisz almost dies. Like, so, like, Jesus. One of the final scenes, like, we see of her, she gets absolutely stuffed, bro. I'm talking, like, it's a good 5 minutes of them, like, trying to squirm in between two sleeping Russians. You can actually see one of them wake up to kind of see, like, what's going on. I was like, I see you, extra, like, trying to get a peep. Like, honestly, you could have easily have cut to fucking Jay from In Between Us masturbating when Will's trying to have sex in the, I think it's In Between Us 2 when they're in the group hostel or some shit.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It's like, you know, I just thought we were done with sexploitation in movies, man. Especially after Don't Worry, Darling. Like, I need to, like, there's more to talk about, so we'll move on. But we'll see the movie. I just, like, this is the worst kind of news. For this movie coming out, this is the worst kind of news. This is what Christopher Nolan does not want. People have now read this news on Twitter, and, like, you can possibly see ticket prices from yesterday or a couple of days ago to now, and there's actually probably been a rise.
I look at it this way. As long as there are people willing to do it, as long as there are people comfortable doing it,
there's people willing to watch it.
There's people, sex scenes, sex, all of that stuff, and it's not going away in movies. No. Regardless of the budget, regardless of who's doing it, it's there. If it's there for a reason, then it works. If it's there for the sake of being there, then, you know, it doesn't do anything but hurt. And, like, there's There's this old comedy from the 70s that I watched the other day. It's called the Kentucky Fried Movie. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or seen it. It's essentially a movie that's comprised of like, it's essentially a movie comprised of sketches.
Yeah. Right.
And these are like over the top, really sketches from the 70s. So very, very of the time, dated jokes, but some of them are really funny. And it's just, there's a abundance of gratuitous nudity in the thing, but it's done to make fun of certain like genres of film and commercials and stuff like that. So even in like that, it makes sense. But that's what I'm saying. If nudity and all that stuff makes sense and it's helping propel a story forward, who are we to judge? You know?
Are you, what? So you, are you secretly hoping that like Cillian Murphy finds the answer to the bomb as he kind of like, you know, explodes, quote unquote? Oh my God.
No.
Oh, no. I found
it. No, because that is.
I know it now.
That is not something I ever want to fucking see. I'm just hoping it's not.
Oh yeah, E equals MC squared.
I'm just hoping it's not, you know, it's essentially, it's not tits for the sake of tits. That's what I'm hoping. And we spent a lot of time talking about Christopher Nolan in the last episode.
We did.
And he has more than earned the benefit of the doubt. And if it's in there, it's for a reason. Regardless of everyone bitching and moaning, you and I, as writers, directors, and as fans of Christopher Nolan, are fully aware of this motherfucker. He's meticulous, and if it's there, it's there for a reason.
Okay. Damn. All right. Okay.
All right. So from Nolan, we go to what the fuck is up with Jonah Hill?
What the... like, literally, that needs to be the title of something, like the article that needs to come out from like entertainment, or just like needs to be the title of like what the fuck is happening with Jonah Hill. Jesus
so
Christ.
So if you haven't heard, his ex has essentially leaked texts that she's had between him, and Jesus Christ, man, this is one of the most insecure fucking people I have ever seen.
I was telling a friend about this over the weekend, because like he's not really on Twitter, and on Twitter is the only place I saw this information. And I was talking him through it. Let me just give our audience the basics. Jonah Hill, you know him, actor of sorts. Was fat, now he isn't. Starting to think he did something weird not to get fat, because of how weird he is now. His ex-girlfriend, forgive me for not knowing the name, but what I do know is she is a surfing instructor in California. Jonah Hill had insecurities about her posting in bathing suits and with men as she was surfing. Maybe if you're trying to promote yourself as a surfing instructor, I'm going to get really close to the mic. I'm going to get really intimate. Maybe if you're trying to be a surfing instructor, you need to post pictures in your bathing suit and with people you're training. You stupid dumb fuck, Jonah Hill.
I don't understand. Like, I swear to God, man, Pete, I hate guys like this.
Same.
He's being controlling. He's being insecure, and it's like, he's shaming her for a job that I'm pretty sure she was doing before she even met him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, how can you be doing this, this, and this? It's like, motherfucker, I was doing this before you even existed to me.
Yeah.
Like, where do you get off coming into my life telling me that I've been living it wrong and trying to tell me that I'm doing it, I need to change it for you so you're comfortable? Fuck you. Fuck you and your Oscar nom, you bitch. Call me back when you win one.
Like, if you are that insecure of what your girl is doing on Instagram, maybe you're the one that needs to get off Instagram, not her.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Like there's this like, hideous misconception of like, yeah, you are boyfriend. Yeah, you are boyfriend and girlfriend. Yeah, like you could be married. You could just be, you know, you could just be flirting, whatever. You still have your own fucking life.
mm-hmm.
how hard it is for people to be like body confident on social media at the moment. Like especially coming from you, bro. Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's like the same thing happened with
yo-yo of heavy and skinny.
The same thing happened with Keke Palmer. You see what happened with her recently? She was dancing. Mm-hmm. She was dancing with Usher, and like she had this like sort of one suit thing, but like it was sheer in places. Mm-hmm. She's just given birth, which explains the chesticles that were not visible when she was filming Nope. And I was like, can we get like Nope Part 2, please?
But I was just like, bro.
She was dancing. She was shaking around, and her boyfriend, not her husband, her boyfriend, said, "It's not what you were doing. It's that you're a mom." I was like, okay, cool.
And
maybe put a fucking ring on it, dude. Like
even then, put a ring on it. It didn't seem like she was doing anything, quote unquote, wrong.
She wasn't doing anything raunchy.
You know,
she was doing things more raunchy on his Instagram live 2 weeks before, twerking, which he asked her to do. Usher wasn't even being grabby. Usher wasn't doing anything. It's literally it was literally Keke Palmer's boyfriend exploding over how good his girl looks online.
And it's also for me like, okay, they have this kid together. Part of me would assume they're at least in relatively close proximity to each other, or potentially living together. You're telling me this motherfucker didn't see what she was wearing as she was walking out of their place? And if it really bothered him, there are definitely different ways to go about it. But to do it publicly like that, what the fuck did he expect to happen?
All I know is that Keke Palmer needs an Emmy nomination for Rochelle in Human Resources, because holy crap, up until episode five of season two, she was carrying that season on her shoulders.
She is so fucking good.
I think everyone did so good in Human Resources season two. Honestly, if you're not a fan of Big Mouth, but you want some adult animation and you think, oh, Human Resources is a spin-off of Big Mouth. Yeah, it is so much better.
It's so different.
It's so different. It's a lot more imaginative. Like, it takes the ideas from Big Mouth and just runs away with them in, like, the best way possible. That is how you do a spin-off.
It feels like it handles a lot of issues way more maturely, way more honestly,
mm-hmm.
way more clearly and transparently than a lot of other shows do. Even in Big Mouth, which is crazy to me because the same fucking people make the show.
Yeah. It was when in the new season when Maury, like he's lost his, a character has lost his wife, is like he's at tennis and he's watching a tennis instructor. Not Maury, the old guy. Can't remember the old guy, but Maury shows up. And it's like, Maury, you son of a bitch, how you doing? It's like, you're horny, man. That's why I came back. It's like, it doesn't have to just to be, it doesn't, like, then, like, even though they are hormone monsters, like, that was so good. Like, you know, because he didn't have a sex drive anymore, Maury was like, oh, my job here is done.
Pretty much done, yeah.
But it's like, his wife has died. He's still here. He's got sperm to give, I guess. What the fuck, Mike Tyson over here? I guess.
I guess. Yeah, no, this is definitely going to be a good time. I'm here for a great fight. It's going to be clean. And if he pisses me off, I'm going to bite off his fucking ear.
What was the next thing you wanted to speak about after Jonah Hill being a complete twat? Or do you want to read out some of the... Because you pulled up the messages. Do you want to read out some...
I pulled up a couple.
Do you want to read out some highlights? Isn't there one where it's like it, I just know the sentence starts with him saying so. And then like sort of like... like rolling off like one of the cringiest lines I've ever heard, and it's just like, this is the reason why I don't start like sentences with so, because of how misconstrued they can be read.
Okay, well, I thought there's this exchange that I think is really interesting. So this comes after, her name is Sarah Brady.
Ah,
posted
there we
a video
go.
Of her, she posted a photo of herself It's a video of her surfing, and she says, quote, it's her best surfing video. So Jonas starts off with, respect however you want to live your life, you only get one. Sort of done with explaining myself. And Sarah responds with, three removed, not the video yet. It is my best surfing video. How would you feel if the cover frame was different? Any more specific ones that bother you? I said, yes, one that isn't your ass in a thong. Here's the thing. She's wearing a one piece, and the you know, the bottom just kind of happens to ride up while she's surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And
as like, what happens.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, not a thong, but okay. And essentially, he responds with, as far as other pictures of you not in a bathing suit or surfing or whatever. And then he's like, all right, I'm done. There's tons. I'm just going back to the past month. You want to argue and I don't. It's like, you're done? What does that mean? I'm just over explaining myself.
I'm just over talking about this. What's next?
and more awesome fucking news. We have
to end on something high, and this is so high.
it's just, if you haven't seen them, you need to go out of your way to fucking look at them. They've released the first images of Deadpool 3, and we've got, for the first time in over 20 years, it took over 20 years,
we had 20
and Fox
years.
Being sold
yeah.
to Disney, but we finally have Hugh Jackman donning the classic yellow and blue as Wolverine. And it is so good. He looks so fucking good, man. Looks like he was pulled out of the comic book.
They need to recreate that, like the meme of Wolverine being sad on the bed looking at the photo.
I've seen it. It's him looking at a photo and he's like hands on the picture frame, and it's a picture of Hugh Jackman in the yellow.
They need to recreate that live action. They need to recreate.
Oh, okay. That would be... Oh, dude, that would be so fucking funny.
So, like, it'd be Hugh Jackman now in the yellow and blue suit, mm-hmm. like, looking at a picture of his old body, just stroking it. But you just know the smile Hugh Jackman has on his face, like, as he's walking mm-hmm. with... Because, like, there's a high-res version of the photo now, and Hugh Jackman is, like, he's gleaming. Like, if he smiled any wider, mm-hmm. the top of his head would fall off. You just know this motherfucker's like, the amount of tap dancing movies I'm going to be able to make after I cast this check, fuck yeah.
You know what's fucking hilarious? My sister said the same fucking thing yesterday. She's like, Hugh Jackman is such a fucking theater kid that you know damn well he's doing all this money. He's doing these movies so he can get all this money and be like, okay, I'm going to tap dance now. So... obviously, we have photos of Wolverine in his new suit, and uh-huh. we have photos of Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, in his new suit, which I kind of like.
Red.
It's definitely a lot of a much brighter red.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I think
like
is pretty
it.
Cool.
It's vibrant.
And aside from that, we also got some pictures of them fighting each other in a scene, which is crazy because my favorite part of these fucking pictures, they're fighting in front of a destroyed 20th Century Fox logo.
I saw that shit is like, out of all the things I expected Deadpool 3 to do, like that's just quintessential. Now that I know it's there, I'm like, why didn't I think of that? Like
that's that just it's so fucking funny.
It's chef's kiss perfect. Like,
oh man. I cannot wait. I was already excited for the movie because it's fucking Deadpool. Then he asked Hugh Jackman to be Wolverine in that little clip, said yes. Now there's photos like, oh man, just take my fucking money, inject it into my veins, give it to me now. Okay. I'm a little wound up, a little excited. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the meat and potatoes of this episode.
That was nice.
It is indie-rific. It is Richard Linklater one-on-one with Kevin Smith. Stick around. We will be right back.
Or will we?
Cool fact, A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
You know what, Sasha? If you want to do OnlyFans, you go do that, because fuck you. I got Molly pregnant.
The saga continues.
You know, I thought that was going a very different direction. I thought that was going to be a commentary on the whole Jonah Hill thing. David being like the supportive, you want to do oil? You do you, baby boo. You do you. You don't, as long as you don't fuck anyone else that ain't me, I'm totally okay. You show them amazing breasticles. I'm fucking proud of them.
Your chesticles are great, babe. But Molly's like, bigger. Legit. She got that boob job.
Like, legitimately, when you were doing it, I was like, oh, so that's where he's going. I was like, nope, that's not where he went. Nope.
You gotta twist it, man. You gotta subvert expectations.
I support you, babe, but I gotta support my kid now.
Oh, shit. Right. So
you've got Richard Linklater. I've got the latter of the links, and you have
the Kevin Smith.
Yeah, just like the Kevin Smith, because like that's just, if you need a generic white guy name, Kevin Smith.
Generic white dude from Jersey.
Generic white dude from Jersey. Holy crap! But yeah, so like okay, I said, so it's the battle of the indies. It's the indie off.
It's indie-rific, bro.
I could think of no two more quintessential indie-driven directors to do this with.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, same, dude. But it's, for me, it's like, in kind of prepping and researching for it, it's looking at this battle and thinking, and if Linklater didn't happen, there'd be no Kevin Smith. Kevin mm-hmm. Smith has literally gone on record and said, the reason he got into film was because of Richard Linklater.
Yeah.
Which is
crazy.
So it's going to be very interesting to kind of pit them against each other. Because it's not really like master or student, but it's like, with, you know, without one, you don't get the other.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm not even referencing the movie today. I could have, but it's like, I know the movie Kevin Smith was inspired by. But like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm mentioning right now, it's Slacker, right? That's the movie Kevin Smith was inspired by. Yeah, I could have chosen that as Richard Linklater's like early doors movie, but like, you know, I'm just gonna kick off right here. We're gonna do this the way we did Bay versus Snyder. We've got early, mid, and then our sort of third stipulation. Last time it was blockbuster.
Blockbuster.
Today we kind of set that aside for this one. We're doing a break into Hollywood. Most independent mm-hmm. directors sort of have that sort of, they're enticed from time to time.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to kick this off early doors. Seems so mine inspired yours. Giggity. That's what she said. Dazed and Confused is my early doors link.
I legitimately would have been very disappointed if you picked anything else.
The only other movie I could have picked was Slacker. Love Slacker. That's inspired a lot of my sort of, like, I love the idea of like Slacker, movies like Slacker, Crash. I think it's called Brooklyn's Finest as well. That's where like characters mm-hmm. just like DNA strand around themselves for a movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. you know, you like you think you're seeing like one day, And then you see, like, the next day, but actually something happens at the end of that next sequence. It's like, oh, that's the same day because what they did here affects them. Oh, my God. Like, you know, you sort of work it out. Mm-hmm. The cogs start turning. It's, like, sometimes they're a bit too smart for the average viewer, which is why none of them ever seem to do very well. I don't want to say the average viewer is stupid, but stupid. So, Dazed and Confused, 1993. Budget, a cheeky... 6.9 million. Nice. Only grossed 7.9 million. Had a horrible opening day of like 777,000 as well.
Fucking A.
It makes me question how often does IMDb update? I guess there's this whole most people that do this on YouTube in the same way that we're doing, they adjust for inflation. I don't know if IMDb mm-hmm. does that. It doesn't look like it. But yeah, this movie, I guess this movie is this is why we're talking about indies. Indies. Mm-hmm. They are the king of the cult hits.
Yeah.
And I think Dazed and Confused is still one of those underground cult hit movies.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by that. Like, I think it's one of those movies. Like, it might be a litmus test for me. For I'm a great fan of movies. Oh yeah, you like Dazed and Confused? And I'm like, huh? It's like, get the fuck out of here. you had one chance. It's like whenever I'm on Tinder, my opening is always hello there, and I expect the response of either a GIF. Or just typed out in text, General Kenobi. Anytime it's not there, I'll continue the conversation. But just know, this will never be anything. This will never be if you're looking for long term, because of the way you start this conversation, I ain't it. You ain't it for me, and I ain't it for you.
It's just ain't gonna work.
But I have no idea what I'm gonna do as soon as the day that happens, the day I get that response. Mm-hmm. I may actually explode. But yes, before we do IMDb ratings, I feel like that's a good sort of face-off to do with mm-hmm. these movies.
Yeah.
So what's your early days movie, budget and gross?
I mean, Kevin Smith, only one logical choice.
There is only one choice.
Yeah, there is only one choice, and it's Clerks.
It's Clerks. This guy literally came out of university, made this movie.
I was thinking about it. It's like, for Clerks, you and I have talked about it extensively across this podcast already.
We've annoyed so many people with, in reality and on this podcast, talking about fucking Clerks.
yep. So, we don't, I mean, if you listen to the podcast, just to quickly sum up, this is the movie that got me interested in doing what I'm doing. As Kevin Smith is to me what Richard Linklater is to Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
You don't get one without the other. So Clerks was made on a budget of $27,000.
Wow.
And it worldwide gross of $3.2 million.
That might be the best glow up from budget to gross we've done so far.
I definitely in what we've done, because I was going to say there's another one that completely trumps it, but it's a different time, different movie, different genre, different all of that stuff. So
I think
I'm talking about Paranormal.
We didn't talk about Paranormal Activity.
Oh no, but that's what I'm saying, because because you're talking about budget to. Yeah, the budget glow up in terms of
At what point are we ever going to talk about Paranormal Activity?
I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm talking about in comparison to Bay versus Snyder.
Oh, fair enough.
You
okay, I got you.
Dumbass.
All right.
that's mad impressive though, especially for an indie movie, first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, 27.
This man went into serious credit card debt when he made this fucking movie.
Damn.
And then, so it was financed through him opening credit cards and maxing them out, but it was also funded through with insurance money he got after his car was flooded. Which is, because I was reading about that, and it was such a hilarious, I honestly think it's a funny fucking story. So apparently, it was raining really hard in Jersey. His car was parked at the bottom of a hill, and Jason Mewes offered to move his car up the hill so they wouldn't get flooded.
Mm-hmm.
But Smith said no, because he didn't trust Mewes to move it up the hill and just leave it there. So his car got flooded. Obviously, I imagine he was like, fuck, dude. But he got that insurance money.
He got that payout, though. And with that insurance
money, he got Clerks. It's great. In that moment of not trusting Jason Mewes, he earned the ability to make Clerks. And then he gave a role to Jason Mewes because he trusted him all of a sudden.
That's awesome.
Right, so we're doing IMDb scores.
IMDb ratings. I'm a healthy 7.6.
Damn. Clerks sits at a very nice 7.7.
You bastard! Look at you being all fucking man. Anakin, you know, out like bettering Obi-Wan kind of thing. Fucking syndrome over here, looking at Mr. Incredible. I've outgrown you. Fucking Kevin Smith just dropping all of his Linklater movies. It's like, I'm done with you now. Linklater just there wide-eyed. No, it can't be true. I can fly if I wanted to. Was fucking Smith's just like buzz, 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 like you're to the rescue. Oh, damn. So, mid. So, I need to confess that I may have misconstrued the meaning of mid. Last time we did Schneider, I was looking for like a movie that's sort of like mid-level in terms of like, oh, this is their early doors, this is their big movie, oh, this was their middle. Where actually you were talking about mid on budget.
Yeah. Like the idea was kind of like, obviously you have the early work, so I imagine the way I had it in my head is like, if you do early work, that's probably going to be one of their like lower budget movies.
Yeah.
So you go low, your lowest budget, middle budget, big budget.
But yeah.
I
feel like I still did well though. If you look at Schneider,
oh no, yeah, for sure.
I would say I picked well with Sucker Punch, even though I picked it for the wrong reasons. The hidden behind them was the actual right reasons that I didn't really express.
It still worked.
But I did it better this time because, like, when I say Boyhood, you think, well, that was like not too long ago, right? It was only 2014, it's just about 10 years ago. That seems mad to me. I remember I was in university when I got this movie. I was really looking forward to it because you couldn't dodge this movie when it came out. The movie that took 12 years to make. You know, like, all the actors are the same. You know, they watch them grow up in real time. Woo, no one gives a shit. But at the time, like, you know Boyhood. Have you seen Boyhood? You know the story of Boyhood? Not the story, but you know, like, about it?
Yeah. Like, the production of it, yeah.
How much do you think this kind of movie, remember, 12 years to make, same actors, growing up kind of thing, Ethan Hawke as well, like, the right, literally going through the rise, the fall, and the reincarnation of Ethan Hawke. So glad he's still around. Love him. But how much do you think this movie made? Like, how much do you think this movie was made for? Like, what was the budget? What do you think?
I'm gonna guess somewhere between like 25, 40 mil.
4 million.
Fuck off.
Nope. Go check IMDb.
4 million?
This movie was made for 4 million.
How is a movie that takes 12 years to fucking make only cost
4 million.
I do not know. I don't know if they made contracts at the beginning of the movie for actors, basically saying this is how much you're going to be paid, locked, final, and then it just like the movie just kept coming back and like the actors kept coming back. I don't know, but this movie was on a budget of 4 million. This movie grossed. I think this may beat out Clerks. This movie grossed 48 okay. million.
Fuck, dude.
This is... Those are some pretty, pretty fucking impressive stats. Especially this yeah, is man. Boyhood that was like... When he started making this, he was possibly... He was doing... Like, he was in his Hollywood mode, Linklater, I would say. And you're like, you... Yeah, you're not going to be shocked of what, like, if you know Richard Linklater and you know his movies, you know what the break into Hollywood movie is. But, like, this movie was being made, or at least being, it was in production, like, for the most part in the mid-2000s. Most of the movie is the early days. Butch and Cassidy, the early years. Butch and Sundance, sorry. So that was when Linklater was huge. Hot off the heels, Dazed and Confused, the break into Hollywood movie. Don't want to spoil it, so that's what I'm going to call it for now. Like the Before Sunset, After Sunset movies, they were pretty big indies as well. Like the fact that in the background he was making what is possibly his flagship movie. I would say $4 million. I couldn't believe it when I said it. I wanted to go with Everybody Wants Them. But that budget's hefty.
Yeah.
That's a hefty budget. That is fucking crazy. I didn't think it was. Like I was like, oh, let me go, Everybody Wants Them. That was filmed on a university campus in like 3 locations. Like I guess it was all the actors they had. But at the time, you know, the actors are huge now. Glenn Howerton, Tyler Hoechlin, the Kardashian brother, whatever his name is. Like, but at the time, like, you know, I can't imagine they cost that much. But it was so just woo, craziness. Yeah, really impressed. I think you've got some work to do. What is your mid movie?
So this one was interesting because I was going back and forth on a couple of them, but I feel like this one. I feel like this one stood out more. So my mid movie is Clerks 2.
Okay. Your break into Hollywood better not be Clerks 3.
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure he broke into Hollywood before.
Yeah.
But so the reason I picked Clerks 2, it was made, it's just to get this out of the way, budget was $5 million.
Damn.
Total gross was $27 million.
Okay.
Which, you know, obviously fucking Boyhood trounces Clerks 2 in terms of that, you know. But the reason I picked Clerks 2, if for me, in terms of all of his other like mid movies, because I feel like that's predominantly what he does. Mm-hmm. You know, where Michael Bay, like we had the thing where Michael Bay does primarily blockbusters. I would argue Kevin Smith does primarily mid budget, low budget movies.
Yep.
So for me, it's the story of Clerks 2 that kind of stands out for me because, you know, you look back at Jay and Silent Bob, it was like the retirement of all of those characters.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Clerks 2 essentially revitalizes them because, you know, we just had Clerks 3 not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in terms of that, from a creative standpoint, I think that's kind of why I went with this one over the other ones.
Clerks 3 and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Exactly. So it's, I think overall, I'm going to say fucking Boyhood takes it, but then, you know, that's why I went for Clerks 2. I'm very curious what the IMDb on Boyhood is going to be.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes, sir.
4.5.
What?
No. 7.1.
You motherfucker.
I did you dirty. I did you.
I did you so dirty. What's that over there? Look, everybody. It's Sebastian's ankles from where I completely did him.
Oh, nah, son of a bitch.
A hefty 7.9, my guy.
Damn, that's pretty good. That's fucking good, dude. That's crazy.
Oh no, what
so
is Clerks
2? Oh no. You definitely won. Clerks 6, okay. Clerks 2 sits at a 7.3.
That's a little bit too low for me. I love me some Clerks 2. I prefer Clerks 2 over Clerks 1.
I was definitely.
I think that's because I watched Clerks 2 before Clerks 1, though. I feel like that's why I think.
I think that's for me. That's kind of how it went for me, because I remember watching Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back first before anything, and being very confused about a lot of the shit that was going on. And then when I was finally able to watch, you know, Clerks and Mallrats and Chasing Amy and all the stuff in between before fucking Jay and Silent Bob, was like, oh, that all makes so much more sense now.
Yeah, no, I can see, like, I feel like you can get away with Clerks 2 before Clerks 1, but there's some movies that, like, you definitely need to be aware of, like, who is who kind of thing. There's definitely, like, Kevin Smith movies. Sure. Like, I've definitely made these movies for fans of my movies.
Yeah.
You can go see them and take them at face value, but you might not like them as much as someone like, you know, that you'll be walking out the cinema with people in front of you or behind you going, yo, they referenced that one guy from Dogma. And you can be like, what the fuck? Dogma? Like, Dragon's Dogma? That piece of shit RPG game? Like, what? Right.
Right. So obviously we've been talking about how these guys are indie-rific, but even indie-rific guys get the Hollywood bug. So let's round it out with their break into Hollywood.
What is your break into Hollywood? Do you know what my movie is?
I have an inkling.
What do you think it is?
I think it's School of Rock.
It is School of Rock.
I knew it was going to be School of Rock. How could it fucking not be?
What else was it going to be? 2003, this man is like 10 years after Dazed and Confused. He's done his indies. What are you going to think? 10 years into your career, you're going to be like, oh, where's my shot? When's my time? And Linklater's time came in 2003 with the just... Both, it may annoy people when I say this is a cult hit, but I still think it is. As much as this movie has a fond place in our hearts as millennials, there's, you know, it's completely bypassed the generation before us and the generation after us. I think the before us is the boomers, and after us is Gen Z, I think.
Yeah,
because is it Gen X now? I am not too fucking sure. But there's so many generations, and I hate them all besides millennials. but, like, this is one of those movies where the boomers didn't quite understand because, like, we were actually being raised by parents. Like, I knew some kids that wanted to do acting and they wanted to do music, but their parents made them do, like triple science, geography, history, all that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. I told my parents I wanted to do drama, and they were like, if you put in the work, we will support you. But as soon as we think you've taken this as a DOS, we'll take it away from you. And then look where I am now. You know, it's one of those things. I was lucky enough to have that support. But there were some dark ages in the 90s in terms of, like, being raised in both, like, Western countries. Very, very straight, I think, is what I'll use. Very straight, very white. Very male dominated as well. Like, you know, I definitely saw, like, you know, I look back at my time. I was about to say Greswold. And you're like, huh? My primary school, my first ever school, as, you know, girls in skirts, boys in trousers. That was it. No other way about it. And, you know, you see the news today, like, you know, so some boys in school. In England, they weren't allowed to wear shorts
but there was nothing in the school book about them wearing skirts. So this lad shows up to school in a skirt, and I was like, it is too damn hot for trousers. I've still got, like, I've got my boxers on and my shorts on underneath this skirt, and I'm like, I've got a nice breeze and I'm cool. Show me where I'm not allowed to do this. Or amend the rules so we can wear fucking shorts. Even I was allowed shorts when I was in school. It was only summer, but you were, you know, you could choose. You could choose shorts, you could choose trousers. No one did the shorts because these things were fucking figure-hugging booty shorts, bro. It was creepy as fuck. But yeah, like, so School of Rock was very... there's a new phrase floating around the TikTokers, the TikToking stratosphere, a moment in time. That's where I put School of Rock. It was a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, budget, like, at the you got to think 2003. Not Hollywood now. Because Marvel, superhero movies have ruined the idea of Hollywood blockbuster. 35 mil was the budget for School of Rock.
Okay.
Do you want to hazard a guess at the gross?
$85 million
Higher.
Oh, damn. You're talking triple digits?
Mm-hmm.
But, $150 million
$131 million Almost $100 million gross in 2003.
Fucking A. That's really good.
This indie director breaking into Hollywood was putting up Lord of the Rings numbers.
Which is, it's kind of crazy to me, but it's also like, because you look at the School of Rock, and, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's hard to argue that it's not a kid's movie.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, it's about kids, and it's about music and stuff, and Jack Black is amazing in it. So it's interesting to see, you know, where Linklater started as a director and choosing his break into Hollywood to be this family movie. But there's so much heart in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, because like you said, it's a moment in time. Boomers didn't get it because they weren't kids. The movie wasn't for them. We were kids when the movie came out. The movie was for us. We're watching it and, you know, Jack Black is hilarious. But he's also introducing an entire new generation to amazing fucking rock music in such a cool fucking way.
And what happens in the end? They lose. They lose. Like, we were being shown as kids that it's okay to lose.
Yep.
What movie in 2003 for kids, like, I'm talking like Spy Kids, Sky High, yes... I just referenced Sky High. Last week it was Titan AE. This week it's Sky High. You do not have heroes. You do not have Titans. You do not have fucking any kind of superhero with kids original movie without Sky High coming first. Fight me in the parking lot. Fisticuffs. Fucking Kurt fucking Russell in this movie, my guy. But yeah, it was like, oh, kids save the day. Don't forget the parents helping them along. When this was Jack Black, a neglected kid, seeing other neglected kids. And I was like, what was my healthy outlet? Music. And he did the same for these kids. It was one of those movies that it took a while to grow on me. I'm not going to lie. It took me watching it with you in our apartment in 2019 to fully see... Oh, this movie is actually like really healthy, good message. Jack Black you know, he just had fun with that role.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. For sure.
No doubt.
But you're going to be disappointed with the IMDb rating. I'll tell you that right now. Right now, my guys. Disappointing IMDb rating, right? Right. So, before I make everyone cry, what is your break? I don't think I can even guess what Kevin Smith's break into Hollywood movie it is. Oh, you know,
I would say he had.
Is it? Have you gone with Bad Lieutenant?
Very much.
Or whatever it's called.
Cop out.
Like the one with Tracy
and Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Here's my reasoning. When we're talking about breaking a Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
After he wrapped Clerks.
Yeah.
Universal offered him Mallrats, because Mallrats is a Universal movie.
Oh shit! I didn't know that.
It is not a Weinstein movie. So I was debating whether or not that would be the break into Hollywood movie, but it doesn't feel like a break into Hollywood movie when you watch it. It just feels like a very sleek indie movie.
Did you see the numbers? So, what did the numbers say for Mallrats?
I didn't see the numbers for Mallrats. I can look them up real quick, but because I picked a different one because if this one feels much more like a Hollywood movie.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like an indie guy making that jump, and that movie is Dogma.
I honestly, Dogma was in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it is one of those movies that is so hard to find now. There was definitely a moment, like, I'm pretty sure it was when I was in university. Dogma was doing the rounds, and mm-hmm. it was like, it's the original, like, one of the original poster boys of cancel culture and the effects of it.
And so the biggest reasoning for me to saying this is like his break in a Hollywood movie is the cast is pretty stacked. Budget was not too big, but it wasn't a small budget either. So it was made on a budget of $10 million.
Yeah.
Worldwide gross, $31 million.
Hmm. That's some good numbers. I'm going to hit this fly, but I don't want to hit my mic. How did you even get inside? The windows are closed, Brett. Fucking flies and moths in this country are sneaky little fuckers.
So, no. You know, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, George Carlin, Chris Rock.
Chris Rock falling out the sky butt naked.
Yep. Jason Lee. Like, it's a really solid fucking cast. And I think that's, for me...
Is it Alanis Morissette fucking God?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He got Alanis Morissette to be God. Like, he's pulling in all of this Hollywood fucking... He's pulling in a lot of young Hollywood powerhouses for the time. Because before then, he had already worked with Ben Affleck in fucking Chasing Amy and Mallrats. So, you know, they had a relationship. But then, because of that relationship, you got fucking Matt Damon. And, you know, this was not that long after fucking Good Will Hunting. So they still had the prestige of that. So that was definitely going to bring more eyes. And that's kind of where my mind was like, okay, this one feels like the break into fucking Hollywood more than Mallrats was. Even though Mallrats was technically his actual break because, you know, Universal.
I feel like both are directors, even though they both had these break into Hollywood movies. Every time I'm saying this, by the way, there's massive, massive bunny ears. Because it is like some people say, oh... Hollywood movies are purely numbers. Oh, no. Hollywood movies are like, you know, what the movie's trying to say, who's in it, star-driven. You know, there's different ways. Like, have you studied film studies and media or haven't you? You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. where you get the two arguments coming from. But I think even though mine is a break into Hollywood that could have succeeded in a great Hollywood career, Richard Linklater then said, nah, fuck that. Like, had a horrible time actually making School of Rock, went straight back to indies. Went straight back to Ethan Hawke, did the, I think, After Sunset kind of shit. And then, like, the next time he tried to break into Hollywood was Last Flag Flying, that came out in 2017. Steve Carell, Lawrence mm-hmm. Fishburne. Very, like, sort of heartwarming movie, like, memorial, that kind of shit. Military, always, you know, Hollywood sort of, you know, patriots kind of shit.
Yeah,
but whereas yours is a break in Hollywood, I don't want to say failed, but like didn't have the reaction Kevin Smith wanted.
No.
And then he's sort of like, okay, I kind of need to stick to my guns.
Mm-hmm.
You need, like, Kevin Smith was like, I need to do this because I tried something with this. The reaction was, whereas like for Richard Linklater, it's like, I tried with this, definitely worked, but just he didn't like the person. I'm not Richard Linklater. Like, I've not done all the research in the world. I just don't think he liked who he had to be on that set compared to,
you know, it's
making it, like putting himself into these indies. Mm-hmm. Like there's
you know.
Sorry. You talk. I've got a good Richard Linklater story, but yeah. What was you saying?
No, I was just gonna say, you know, it's interesting. You're kind of talking about how effectively School of Rock killed the wanting to continue in Hollywood because
the vibe.
And that is the legitimate reason I didn't pick Cop Out.
Yeah.
Because if you've heard of any of the
aftermath with Kevin Smith and Bruce Willis.
Yeah, where it's like, you know, meeting your hero and your hero turning out to be a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
It you know, it kills that vibe, which I think is one of the main reasons he's gone back to doing, you know, smaller budget movies and movies that he wants to make, movies with his friends, movies that he's putting out for his fans specifically. And he's like, people want to watch it, they're going to fucking watch it.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, I think seeing that both of these guys did the indie thing to build to the Hollywood thing, realizing the Hollywood thing was shit, to go back to the indie thing,
yeah,
is so interesting because it's again, it goes back to, like, you know, there is no Kevin Smith without Richard Linklater, and they run so parallel with each other. It's kind of freaky.
It is very freaky.
But, you know, I they both had, I would say, if you ask them what they think of their career as a whole, I would say both of them are very happy with where they are and how they got there. Like, I would imagine, like, maybe one or two things they want to change, you know, for XYZ reasons.
Yeah.
But, like, from where they started to where they are now, so many people hold them in high regard. You and I hold them both in high regard.
Oh, yeah. Both of these directors are huge in terms of inspiration for me. I'm annoyed I couldn't find a way to fit Everybody Wants Some onto this list, but that's what I'm about to speak about. So just before we sign off, because I thought, like, just, you know, the Hollywood dream isn't exactly what you want, is a great place to end. But I just wanted to talk about, like, in terms of, like, the difference Linklater, the experience a director may have after working with, like, an executive producer, sort of saying, oh, no, you have to do XYZ for the studio, compared to doing what you want for... Ooh, I can hear that neck click, bro. Doing what you want on an indie is the BTS and Everybody Wants Some. The scene where all the boys meet each other in the pub in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We're fucking drinking, Bromley. Why does Coach smell my breath? Like there's in the behind the scenes, they were talking about, like, Richard was like, oh, find a way to greet each other. And, like, he saw them, like, sort of doing, like, the clap and come into each other kind of thing. And he goes, cut, cut, cut. It's like, yo, back in 1984, that, like, people weren't doing that. People weren't doing that just yet. It was more like, sort of, you know, you got to think fist, you got to think high five. You know, you got to think, like, sort of, like, shot, like, shoulder bump kind of thing. Like, the whole clap, come into each other, like, embrace. Like, you saw two guys embracing in the pub. You'd be kicked out for being gay. And, like, the actors were like, yo, like, you know, just the amount of times, like, even though Linklater gives us the free rein as actors, if we do something that is characteristically wrong in the time we're supposed to be in, he will tell us. And, like, we have to listen because this motherfucker was there. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show the accuracy. Like, it annoys me when I search on, like, Letterboxd coming of age movies, and only every now and then do I see Dazed and Confused and Everybody Wants Some, and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
people, like, or I see on coming of age movies all these new, like, the boy I kissed a million times or something on Netflix, and the other one that had three movies about it as well. Like, mm-hmm. all these Netflix female-led rom-com, like, teenage female-led rom-coms. I was like, yeah, but, you know, guys grow up too. Like, and the fact that, like, in Dazed and Confused, they're like, you've got, like, 14, 15-year-olds, like, you know, drinking beers and shit and getting drunk and trying to catch some tail. I was like, yo, that's what I was trying to do. And I know for a fact that's what 14 and 15-year-old are trying to do right now. Mum and dad go away on holiday. I need to, like, you need to know someone who's getting beer. Luckily, I had a brother who was 18, 3 years older than me. Yeah. Hey, Tom, I've got 20 quid from me, 20 quid from him, 20 quid from him, 20 quid from him. Keep the change. Can you get us some beer? Came through every single time. Every single time. And what was the other thing we're trying to do? We were at these house parties and we're like, there's a lot of sausage, bruv. Like, we're the fucking females. You know, this is a hideous misconception of, like, what is considered a coming of age movies. Like, people hate this movie, but I know you agree with me when I say it's a coming of age movie. American Pie.
Yeah.
The first American Pie is quintessential coming of age. Very white, I'll agree, very white. You know, in this day and age, for some strange reason, offensive, even though no one's inherently racist. Like, they are just guys trying to get some pussy. You know, is trying to get some pussy so wrong? And we'll leave that with you, our audience. Is it wrong to?
That is. I will say, considering everything that's happened since that movie's come out, that question is very much a
loaded question.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is why we're not going to answer it on this podcast. We're going to let our audience answer it.
I was thinking about it.
Is it so wrong?
Like, if you would have asked a couple decades ago, nah.
Nah.
Now? Fuck if I know, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. The times they are changing. Oh, yeah, before we leave. Okay. School of Rock, 7.2. Yeah.
Dogma edges it out, 7.3.
Like, and you think the reaction to School of Rock, our reaction to School of Rock, the budget, mm-hmm. the gross to the budget reaction.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this movie has been review bombed by, I want to say this movie has been review bombed by Gen Z. Because they didn't win, Gen Z, they lost. So? Fuck you. People lose. Your generation will lose. Just wait. Give it 10 more years.
Jeez.
Give it 10 more years and you'll see the hell that the rest of us are living in. Fucking idiots.
Bro. Well, are you okay?
They're whippersnappers. TikTok will fall. TikTok will fall. Vine didn't last forever. YouTube and Twitch are dying. Kick is a criminal organization. Twitter is a cesspool. Facebook, yeah, no. Threads, we'll talk about that next week. We wanted to talk about it this week, but it's so bad. Yeah, heard it here first. Threads is so bad, we need to do research on it. Just wait.
That is such a foreboding way to end the episode.
Well, I think they're better than everyone. You've seen them on TikTok.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You just want to punch them in their greasy little faces. We saw them every time we had to drive past fucking Burbank High School to get home sometimes.
Yeah.
10 points per kid, I swear to God. Vroom.
Oh, shit. Sorry. All right. On that note, remember to rate.
Actually, he's coming around again! No! Sorry!
Remember to subscribe. Remember to let us know what you think. Who do you prefer, Kevin Smith, Richard Linklater? Who do you think is the better director?
I'm trying to think of another indie director that people might like. Or are you a... Who directed My Big Fat Greek Wedding? That guy. Because that is one of those indie Hollywood kind of movies. But fuck it. Yeah.
Well, just let us know who your favorite
let
indie
us know,
director
you
is.
Sons of bitches.
All right, everyone. Take care. We will catch you on the flippity flip.
Come join us on this trip. Now all I do is pulling out the script.
Come on, man. Come join us on a trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the script. I hope you don't charge a penny. I hear the weakness calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.